Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the award-winning 147 Snooker Podcast with me, Sports MC Phil Seymour, and him, the former world champion and Triple Crown winner, the magician, Sean Murphy.
And it is an award-winning podcast, Sean. How did that happen?
Absolutely no idea. Have we mentioned it?
It's funny, actually. Dave Hendon on the Snooker Scene podcast, he said, look, I'll mention it because I'm sure they won't. Yeah, Dave. I know it was in jest, but of course we're going to talk about it. Can't believe it. Shocked and stunned.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much to each and every person who voted for us. We were thrilled to just be nominated, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We couldn't believe that this little old podcast that we sling together, you sling together, was even nominated, you know, amongst such, you know, lights as, you know, that Ian Wright was involved, other people were involved from TalkSport. You know, some very well-known podcasts.
It was amazing.
But they weren't as well-known as ours.
It's shocking. Absolutely stunning. I was in Denmark for boxing. And the promoter picked me up from the airport. And I'm chatting away. So we're going out for dinner, actually. And we're chatting away. And I told him about Sports Podcast Awards. And he's like, "Oh, right. Do you think you'll win?" I said, no chance at all. Ian Wright, Simon Jordan, Nick Luck. You know, proper respected broadcasters in there. And half an hour later, my phone goes off. And we've won. I was just like, what? We've won? And I was stunned. And then I messaged you, and your response was, no, we haven't.
I just assumed you were winding me up.
Amazing. So, yeah, just to echo what Sean said, thank you to every single person that voted and that supports the podcast generally, gets involved in social media. You know, without you, there wouldn't be a podcast. So, just blown away by it, absolutely blown away by it. So we are the Sports Podcast Awards, Sports Talk Category Winners 2024.
It does roll off the tongue, doesn't it?
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. And to celebrate, what a venue we're recording in today. We are in Llandudno in North Wales, and this hotel has given us this very opulent promenade room in which to record, which is, look, if you go on our social medias, at 147 Pod, you'll see a little video of, are we calling this our new studio?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, of our new studio, and it's very nice. We've got coffee with a nice sugar bowl, and it's quite beautiful, actually. A couple of chandeliers, haven't we? Which I think you need a couple of chandeliers for a podcast, really.
If you're going to have a chandelier, you should have two.
If you're going to have an award-winning podcast, you should have two chandeliers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's a two-chandelier podcast now, is what we're calling it. In all seriousness, thank you. Blown away by it. It's wonderful. And that's the last we're going to say about it.
That's a complete lie.
In the next 5 minutes. Anyway, how are you, Sean?
I'm really good, yeah. I really well. I've been all over the place in the last few weeks. Busy, busy, busy. Not putting many balls in pockets. struggling on the table. But, you know, we push on. But, you know, trying to keep positive, trying to keep optimistic. But, yeah, been enjoying the touring, been enjoying getting back. I think since the last episode, I'm trying to think, were we in Berlin? Have we been to Berlin since?
We were in Mansfield for the last one. We recorded it live in Mansfield, if you remember, before the ABC snooker exhibition that we did there. Since then, we have had the German Masters. You were flying out, I think, on the Sunday or the Monday over to Germany.
That sounds right.
So, yeah, we've had the German Masters. And it was another one for Judd Trump.
Just keeps collecting them now, doesn't he? It's unbelievable.
He's on fire.
Yeah, it's incredible. A few tournaments to go, obviously, and some big tournaments to go, but you'd have to say Judd. I mean, if he's not favourite for the World Championships, he must be second favourite.
Well, I was going to say, it seems mad that someone else could win the Masters in the UK and Judd could possibly be favourite for the World. I mean, it just doesn't really seem to process that. It's weird.
It's funny because, you know, there's obviously talk about, obviously, O'Sullivan will be favourite, or he'll be one of the favourites going for 8-8-8. You know, an eighth World Championship added to his eighth Masters and eighth UK Championship. Incredible. And will he have the mental stamina to last the sort of 2.5 weeks of the test of the Crucible? Of course, you know, he's been pulling out of a lot of tournaments, not playing.
As he has this week here, of course. He's pulled out this week, citing stage fright. I mean, Judd's pulled out as well, which... Yeah, kind of understandable. You know, you win in tournaments, you earn a lot of money. You know, you want to pick and choose, which you can, and it's every player's right to do that. But yeah, Ronnie's cited stage fright, which, having seen the documentary film, The Edge of Everything, you know, I think that gives you a bit of an insight into his mental state and his head and everything else. Having seen that, you can see that. You can sort of see what he's saying. It does seem strange. I won't lie, it does seem strange, but it's his prerogative. You know, as I said, he's having an amazing season. He's won the World Grand Prix. He's won the Masters. He's won the UK. And it's his right to pick and choose. If he is struggling like that, he does right to pull out as well. But it did seem a slightly odd one to pull out with.
Yeah. Listen, it is literally what you've just said, each to their own. No players are under any obligation to play in any tournament any week, and they can all pull out at any stage. There are quite strict rules around, you know, players withdrawing from tournaments once they've entered it. But once you issue a doctor's note or, you know, a medical exemption or a medical reason, you know, the sort of, it's not that the scrutiny goes away, but, you know, it's just accepted at face value. And, you know, Ronnie has said he's, you know, been suffering. And, you know, we wish him well, and the tour wishes him well and a good recovery, and, you know, hopefully he'll be back soon.
Absolutely. Listen, the snooker needs Ronnie on fire in form at the Crucible, okay? Because if Judd's in form at the Crucible, Ronnie's in form at the Crucible, your game picks up. John Higgins is playing well at the moment. Mark Allen's playing well at the moment. Neil Robertson's turning it round. The Crucible is looking absolutely gripping already, and we're months away.
I completely disagree. I want them all to pull out. I hope they all come down with some mystery virus and I get a bye to the final.
You just want to draft me in.
I'd be very happy
play
to
me in the final.
Play you as a top-up in the final. That would suit me down to the ground. I hope they all fall ill.
Another player who pulled out this week, David Grace. He's pulled out for personal reasons. We don't know what they are. But one of the nicest men in snooker, if not the nicest man in snooker. Wish him well. Hope everything's all right, David, and whatever it is. Hope it resolves quickly. I think you agree on that one, Sean?
Yeah, 100%, absolutely. And, you know, not somebody who would pull out of a tournament, you know, lightly. So I'm sure whatever it is was very serious. And, yeah, we wish him well. And hopefully be back soon.
Yeah, get back soon, David. So, Judd won over in Germany. But let's talk about Neil Robertson. We talked about Neil Robertson on the last podcast. We said how much he had been struggling and how he was dropping in the rankings and everything else. Much, much better in Germany. Came back, won his Championship League group. He's played well here this week. He's gone out, but he's played well here. The signs are looking good for the Thunder from Down Under.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see how long it takes for the little sort of, you know, green shoots of improvement to sprout through from working with Joe Perry.
Yes.
I think that's going to be quite interesting, because who knows what they're actually working on. I think it'd be very hard to take someone like Neil Robertson and find any real improvement, you know, because he's so good. Where would you improve him? What does he need improving at? I think the one thing that might be is, you know, it's a very lonely place, the tour. And from what I've seen over the years, Neil tends to go everywhere on his own. Doesn't make it to everywhere he sets out to get to. but no, in all seriousness, he does a lot of it on his own.
Yeah.
And it's very, very tough. Maybe just having that friendly face with him at tournaments, in dressing rooms, in venues, in the cars, in the hotels, just having that friend. And somebody who has obviously played at the highest level as well. They can sit and they can chat snooker if they want. They can chat football. They're a good fun. There's lots of banter between them, you know, as football supporters, Joe Perry, an ardent Arsenal fan, and Neil, a bit of a pretend Chelsea fan.
Oh, wow. says the plastic Man U fan.
Listen, you've been hitting me. You've been hitting me with that plastic United fan thing from day one. I've been a United fan for at least 6 months. Man, that coffee doesn't come out of your nose.
Don't say that when I've just had a mouthful of coffee shot.
It'd be very hard to see where the improvement comes for Neil Robertson, because he's, you know, his technique's fabulous, his shot selection's great, yeah. His record speaks for itself. You know, he's one of the finest players we've ever seen, the most successful overseas player of all time. Maybe just having that mate on tour you can have a bit of banter with, have the crack with, gets you in a more relaxed mindset. Maybe that is what's been missing from Neil Robertson's team over the years, and it won't be long. If that is the case, if it won't be long for us to start to see that, and maybe we've already started to see it.
It's turning. It is turning. And listen, I'm a snooker fan, and I know you've got more of a vested interest in it than I have. I'm a snooker fan, and Neil Robertson in full flow is a wonder to watch. It's brilliant to see. So yeah, I've got everything crossed that we see that and we see that quickly. Did I see Joe Perry's opened a club?
Yeah, I think I saw something to do with now, that. Yeah, was it the Perry's of the Snooker Palace? Snooker Palace. Where's he modelled it on this room?
It's this room. Palace. Where's the word palace come from? I have to go and see this place now. I mean, I'm visioning an opulent, incredible, dramatic, I don't know.
I'm imagining a room like you see on the pictures, you know, when somebody gets their MBE or something and they have to kneel in front of, you know, Prince William or whoever it might be. And that kind of room with red velvet everywhere. Yeah, yeah. I'm imagining.
With a table in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds phenomenal.
So yeah, Joe Perry, good luck with the Palace. Amazing stuff. Right, since the last podcast, it has been announced. We talked about Saudi on the last podcast and about the invitational event. And we said then that, you know, these invitationals are generally a precursor to a full 128 field ranking event. And... well, before it's even taken place, it's been announced. It will happen, I think it's August, September, end of August, start of September, a full 128 whole tour ranking event. And the money's massive. It's similar money to the World Championship. It's huge, isn't it?
Huge. This event, I think there were rumours of this event pre-COVID. I think Barry, you know, either had or was very close to a signed deal very similar to this pre-COVID. And obviously the pandemic, you know, spoiled everything. And we've managed to say we. I wasn't involved in these negotiations, but we've managed to resurrect the deal. And you know, I know most of the tour were screaming that, you know, it was another invitation event for the top eight players and this, that, and the other, and they have enough. And you know, to some degree, I understand that. But the art of selling into new territories has always been done by taking an invitation event. That's normal. And usually that does lead to full field ranking events. It's great to see that formula has been tried and used again out in Saudi. And I think it's the last week of August into the first week of September, next season, this year. It'll be fantastic for everyone, a fantastic opportunity for players to see a new territory, go and play snooker in front of a new audience, and hopefully make a load of money.
But huge controversy, though. I've got to bring this up because it's a very serious, very important point regarding this whole thing. This has been described as the fourth major. Now, I take issue with that because at the start of the season, you won Championship League, and at that point, we decided that was the fourth major. So are they going to buy us out, or how's it going to work?
Yeah, they probably need to. I haven't had an email from WST on that.
I think Jason Ferguson is here in Llandudno, so I'll have a discreet word with him this couple of days.
Fair enough, because you know, it felt like we coined that phrase.
Yeah, yeah, fourth major, definitely. Yeah, absolutely did.
Fair enough, yeah.
And so there's a lot.
I mean, are we talking royalties here? Where are we going then? You know, because we've not mentioned it for a bit, but you know, because now we are an award-winning duo.
Did we win an award?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of that. These things, you know, they have to be, you have to dot the I's and cross the T's, don't you? You can't have these people taking advantage of us, Phil.
It's got to be done right. In all seriousness, that's really upset a lot of people, you know.
What?
Them calling it a fourth major. There's a lot of people across all socials have been how can you call it the fourth major? It's a brand new event. Everything. You can call it the fourth major because it's over £2 million in prize money. That's how you can call it that. And I hate to be crass, and it is crass, but it's over £2 million in the prize pot. It's massive. It's absolutely huge. And I think that alone does make it, I don't want to say a fourth major. I don't think that's right, but it sort of does.
So what would keep you from saying that then? Why would you hold back? What are the reasons you wouldn't give it that title?
Well, because we've already determined that Championship League ranking
event
is the fourth major.
If we decided to sell the rights to that title and gave it back to WST, what would hold you back from admitting that it is the fourth major?
I don't know. I think history maybe. It maybe needs history, but it'll get history. It's a 10-year deal. It's a 10-year deal, which is enormous. And it's not a 10-year deal with a promoter who might run out of money. This is a 10-year deal with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who, let's face it, are not going to run out of money. I think it will become the fourth major. I don't think it'll take long because there is so much money involved. It's huge. You know, it's life-changing. And as much as anything, let's just get away from the top end of that and let's talk about the lower end of the tour. The players who, you know, are living hand-to-mouth, a lot of them, and they do. The money they can earn in that is potentially enormous. You know, when I say enormous, it could take some of them from playing part-time to playing full-time. And when you do that, you improve. So what this could do, and this is why I think fourth major is probably justified, this could actually transform snooker in as much as it could increase and improve the level even higher than it is now. Because if that extra money goes to those players and enables them to change their lives and go full-time, they're going to improve on the table.
Do you think it'll make the other events look at themselves and raise their bars slightly higher? A bit like, you know, the LIV Tour thing in golf has made the PGA Tour have to become more lucrative to compete. Do you think it'll have that effect on other events? I mean, you start comparing a brand new event out in Saudi to a home nations event.
Yep.
You know, they start to look slightly anemic, don't they? You know, if you start going down that road, will it at some stage, do you think, cause these other events to smarten themselves up a little bit and get, you know, dig deeper into their pockets?
Well, I think that there'll certainly be some changes. I think there will be some changes. It's interesting. Is it the Xi'an Grand Prix over in China, the new one in China that's been announced?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, looks amazing. Where that is, I mean, that place is full of history.
Isn't that where the Terracotta Army
is? It is where the Terracotta Army are, yeah, which I saw them in Liverpool. They toured. Terracotta Army toured. There was an exhibition in Liverpool a few years ago, which it was incredible. I'd love to go over there and see it. But
Were they all accounted for?
I don't think they all went.
Oh.
I don't think they all went.
Okay, but all the ones that went came out, did they? Because, you know,
probably not guaranteed. Oh, right. There may be a few left over.
We've just alienated the entire Merseyside listenership.
But what they've done there, I think their first prize is like, is it 177,000 or something? Because the nearest tournament to them in China, the top prize is 175.
Oh, right.
So they've sort of risen the bar just ever so slightly because they want to be the one with the higher prize money, therefore making it more prestigious. And we get back to the word prestigious again. Get back to prestigious. And so that does happen. And I think you can probably guarantee that other event in China next year will go up to 180 or whatever.
We're trying to make some sense of this. I think in this argument, I think you can agree, you know, you can't buy history.
True.
You can't buy that. One of the things that makes the majors, the Triple Crown events, whatever you want to call them, so special is the history, is the historic element of them. You know, you go on YouTube, you look back at vintage footage of the Crucible, the World Champs, the Masters, the UK Championship. You can't buy that. You can't fake that. When you, as a player, I can assure you, when you walk down those steps at the Crucible onto the same playing arena that all of those great moments happened, where Alex cried for his baby to be brought on, where Cliff made the first maximum, where Steve and Dennis went on till 20 past, you know, midnight, whatever it was, you are aware of the historic element. You're aware it happened in that room. You can't buy that. It's not for sale. I think you can buy prestige.
Yeah.
They're not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you ask the player, would they rather win the World Championship or the new Saudi event, they're going to say the World Championship.
Oh, of course.
Would you rather walk into the final at the Crucible? That still wins because it has history, but the prestige does come from the prize money. That I think those two things are linked. You know, all the snooker players on the tour, they're not all custodians of the sport. They're not all that bothered about, you know, they just want to win money and put in the bank and put food on the table for their families. And so that prestigious element comes because the event is so wealthy. And as I say, I think what I'm looking forward to is it perhaps improving the other events that they will have to, you know, dip into their savings to compete.
Yeah, but it's great news for the tour, great news for all the players on the tour. And as we said, hopefully it's great news for sport as well. We know some people have issue with it. We addressed this on the last podcast. We get that. But for the tour, for the players on it, for snooker, it's great news. So,
tell you what I'm most bothered about, because of the time of year it is, it's going to be super hot, isn't it?
It's going to be pretty warm over there.
Like, what's the sun protection of choice?
Oh, I'd say just a sheet. you're pretty light skin. You're pretty pale skin there, Sean.
I can't even look at the sun.
It's going to be warm, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. But the building you're in will be perfectly air-conditioned. Like,
what's Ben Williston going to do?
He'll melt.
Just fry on the spot.
Yeah, he'll just melt, won't he? It's going to be pretty warm. Right, now, since we were last on, there's also been the Snooker 900, the seniors, has been announced over at Goffs. How many messages have we had from people saying there should be an event at Goffs, there should be an event at Goffs, we need an event now, and Goffs needs to be back. It's going there. I'm going to be on the mic as well. I'm going to be welcoming the players out. Rob can't do it for whatever reason, so they've drafted me in, and I'm looking forward to that. That is right at the start of March. I think it's the 1st of March. It's going to be brilliant. So hopefully, Goffs, I've never been there, and everyone says amazing things about how great it is, and like you said, that sensation when you walk down to Crucible, people say Goffs is very similar sort of vibe. So yeah, really looking forward to that. So if you are going to the Seniors 900 at Goffs, give me a shout. I shall be there, and looking forward to that one. And also, big news.
Do you like Guinness?
Oh, I love a bit of Guinness.
Do you? Are you going to the right place then?
Absolutely. A new sponsor for the Players Series and a new partnership's been announced with Johnston Paints. Now, I see people online all the time saying we need to get away from betting sponsors and everything else. I don't really see why we do, because they're an important part of the game, of the sport, if I'm honest. But this is great news. Really great news, isn't it? A new sponsor, a very well thought of company getting involved in snooker. Good news, Sean.
Yeah, I have to be honest. All I'm excited for are the Selby watching paint dry jokes that are bound to be coming. I'm going to start them myself. No, in all seriousness, though, I can't wait for it. It's good. It is good to bring in new business and new companies. It's also, I think I'm right in saying that, you know, Johnston's Paints have been advertising, you know, during the adverts on ITV4 for some time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that goes to show, you know, these deals don't happen overnight. And I think WST, you know, they have taken some unfair criticism, but I've been part of it, you know, in meetings that I've had with them over the years that are obviously private. But, you know, we don't know what's going on in WST Towers. We don't know who they're in touch with. And they've been saying that a big partnership was going to be announced for some time. And, you know, there was skepticism about that. But here it is.
Yep.
And it's, you know, they're a clean brand. They're a nice family business, this, that and the other. It's great that they are involved in snooker. It's great that they've seen the benefit of being involved in the marketing for a few years from the sidelines, and they've decided to step in. And as I say, I cannot wait. I'm bursting at the seams for the first would rather watch Selby paint a wall. I just can't wait for it.
It's
the
great
jokes
news.
Write themselves.
Oh, of course they do. But yeah, welcome on board Johnston Paints. You know, look forward to working with them, and great to have another big company sponsoring the snooker. Now, the WSF Championships have happened over in Albania. The junior event was won by your old mate, Butch Revez, who, sadly, most famous in snooker at the moment for being the player on the other end of your 147 at the shootout.
What's he going to have to do now when he gets on tour with his two-year tour card as a rookie, when he comes on tour next year? What's he going to have to do in those 2 years to not be known as the break-off guy from the 147?
You do know you're going to draw him first event, don't you?
100%.
You know,
if he breaks off and hits the blue, he should just walk out.
You're going to draw him first event, and he's going to play out of his skin against you. You know that it's written. That's like you drawing C at the Worlds.
We've already accepted it.
Yeah, it's written.
We've accepted that.
Nice lad, and his dad seems a nice guy as well. Actually, that was with him down in Swansea. So yeah, good luck to Butcher Revers on tour. Amazing thing. He's got a 2-year tour card. fantastic. The seniors was won by Cao Wai Chung. Hope I pronounced his name right. There was some really good players in that. Like, really good players in that. So for him to win through, you know, there was the likes of Liam Davies, there was Julian Boyko, I think Ollie Sykes in there as well.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, some really, really good players in there. For him to win through that tells me he's a talent. So, you know, a two-year tour card for him as well. And, big future beckons.
Yeah, no, I took quite a lot of interest in it. This time last year, I was sat watching, you know, late into the night, streaming from Australia as Stan Moody went and got his tour card, for, you know, in the same event. So I was watching it. Not least, I was in Landywood Snooker Club about a month ago, again, with the Moodies. And, you know, there was a big junior comp going on over the weekend, and a lot of the guys who were in that comp were in this one, so it was interesting to see the names popping up and watching their progress. Oliver Sykes was one of them. Yep. I think he's won 5 of the 6, you know, junior events this season around the country, so it's followed his progress as well. He's definitely one to watch for the future.
Good player.
But it's just another tick in the box for me in the argument of, you know, people say, oh, there's no talents coming through and there's no young play. It's absolute rubbish.
Yep.
Sometimes you just have to go away and fact check these things, because, you know, anecdotally you hear these stories from people who don't know what they're talking about. Actually, the state of the game is very good, you know, in the UK as well. You know, yes, it has exploded everywhere, and you go in Ding's Academy or Victoria's Academy in Sheffield, it's full. But snooker's doing okay.
Do you know, we had a message on social media, at 147pod, if you're on social media, this week, which I've not included in the questions for the podcast, but this message was asking what we can do because of the state of snooker, the state snooker's in. Ticket prices are rising. You can't get tickets for the Crucible. There's no young players coming through. You know, basically, snooker's on the scrap heap. It's going to die. And
Was this from my mum?
Yeah, it was your mum.
Jean. Jean.
Stop it, Jean.
Just text me like a normal mum.
I'm reading this message and I'm thinking, well, ticket prices are going up, but it's been a record season for ticket sales so far. Yeah, there's records being broken for viewing figures on TV all over the place. He made the point you can't get tickets for the Crucible. No, you can't. Do you know why? Because they're expensive and they're all sold out, because they all sell out, because people want to go and people are willing to spend the money on the tickets. That's great. No young players coming through. Well, look around you. There's some great young players coming through. Look at the young talent on show at the Shootout. Look at the young talent on show over in Albania at the WSF. There's some great young players coming through. The level snooker is played at now is levels above anywhere it's ever been in the past.
Not if you watch me, it's not.
Well, you aside, you're always the exception, Sean. But snooker's in a brilliant place. The viewing figures alone, and before everyone says, oh, it's Ronnie, the Scottish Open got record viewing figures. Ronnie didn't play in it. He withdrew from that, okay? It got record viewing figures. It sold a record number of tickets. Yeah, it's not just about Ronnie. Snooker is in a really, really good place. If people bigged it up, if people involved in it, and people that watch it and love it and enjoy it, bigged it up instead of running it down all the time, it'd be in an even better place. It's sort of succeeding in spite of those comments. So let's get a bit more positive, people. You know, the sport's in a good place. It's got an award-winning podcast. It's anyway.
Now, you can follow Phil for more uplifting content whilst he's here in Glenwood. No, but we must touch on the Welsh Open whilst we're here.
Yes,
it's going on around us. Yes. You've arrived in Glenwood, a latecomer as always. You always turn up for these home nations events from the quarterfinals onwards. We've only crossed paths once or twice this season. You spend more time in the final stages of these events than I've ever done.
This is true.
It's a good thing your pay for these events doesn't count on the 1 year list. Otherwise, you'd be in the top eight. Waving down upon the rest of us. But we're here, it's quarterfinals day. It's my last day working for BBC Wales, so we've got a day of commentary and studioing.
Yep.
You'll be introducing the players, you'll be on the mic all day.
I will.
How do you see it going? What have you made of it so far?
It's been great. Sorry, Sean. It's been a really good week of snooker. Obviously, there's no Judd, there's no Ronnie. But the actual snooker's been tremendous. You know, it's been fantastic. Neil's coming back into form. Luca Brissell, by the way. Let's talk about Luca Brissell. Amazing clearance yesterday. I know some people will be listening to this in a couple of weeks' time, and this is dead old news. But Luca Brissell, who's, let's be honest, he won the Worlds, and he's had an absolute shocker ever since. I think he could have turned the corner. I think we could be seeing Luca Brissell. He likes Llandudno. He won the Scottish Open here. you know, we know he likes this place. We know how he can play. Yesterday, he showed signs of that. John Higgins is still in. John Higgins is playing well as well. Mark Allen. Mark Allen is looking ominous for me.
Now, I think he just looks like that.
Yeah, that's how he looked. No, he's looking very, very good on the table. Very good. Now, the first game up today is John Higgins against Mark Allen in the quarter. That's a final, that. That is a final. In any tournament, that is very, very much a final. But we got it in the quarterfinals today. And what a way to get things started.
Let's do the predictor contest. Who wins that match today?
Struth.
Pin a name on it. In the privacy of our award-winning podcast.
In the privacy of our very public podcast.
No, because by the time you've, you know, pulled your finger out and uploaded this, that match will have happened.
That's done. Yeah. Wow, thanks.
To be fair, the Wi-Fi and the internet in this part of the world isn't award-winning.
It's powered by goats, isn't it?
Yeah, it's powered by goats. So we're recording this podcast on quarterfinal day at the Welsh Open. It may well only hit your cloud by the World Championships.
My prediction would be for a great game of snooker. I think
snooker will be the winner.
Yeah, snooker's the winner. Snooker's always a winner, apart from in the podcast awards. When it's the 147 Snooker Podcast. I think Mark Allen.
Right, interesting.
I think on form, on recent form, I think Mark Allen pips it. But you never know with John. If John plays like John can, he wins everything, doesn't he? Let's be honest. You know, we were both there at the Players that year when...
Just make a decision,
he
Bill.
Just made waste.
Just make a call.
I have. Go on, make your call.
I would say Mark as well.
You think Mark? Okay. Dominic Dale against Elliot Slesser?
Slesser.
Oh, okay. Dominic Dale's playing very well this
playing
week.
Playing very well.
But you think Big Sless? Okay.
I think this could be Sless's chance this week to push on.
Yeah.
I'm quite friendly with Elliot, and I know that behind the scenes, he's very diligent, he's a very hard worker, a real, like, old-school grafter in the game, dedicates his whole life to playing snooker.
When he's not sending me new direct messages on Instagram.
Fair comment. which is a lot of the time.
Which is a lot, yeah.
I think this could be his week. And okay. if he stands there with the trophy on Sunday night, you heard it here first.
There you go. Gary Wilson, Anthony McGill?
Goodness me. Well, it's great to see McGill back to some form. Maybe the experiment with the carbon cue, you know, has been canned. He's back to his wooden cue.
It's gone. Do you know what, though? Anthony McGill hitting form before the Crucible is a very, very dangerous thing, isn't it?
In other shock news, the sun will rise tomorrow.
I tell you, if he's hitting form now and he's not yet reached the Crucible, that no one wants to draw him.
Maybe he's got his months wrong.
Usually, he's only sold him a dodgy calendar.
I tell you what, it's an argument to see who you see more, Anthony McGill or Haley's Comet.
Go on then, McGill Wilson.
I'm going to go Gary Wilson.
Gary Wilson, okay. And finally, the Ministry of Defence, Martin O'Donnell, against Luca Brissell.
Well, that's oil and water, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's. I mean, you obviously would make the world champion favourite to win the match. But if he doesn't put Martin to bed, so to speak, Martin could drag him under the waves.
Bumped into Martin in M&S yesterday. Lovely chap. He's such a nice guy. He's so unassuming. Just such a...
So you look like a prop forward. I wouldn't want to bump into you anywhere.
Really, really nice guys, Martin. But yeah, I think you're right. I think Luca does win that one. It's going to be an interesting end to the week. If Luca keeps playing like he is, you've got John and Mark in the other half of the draw.
But it's been a really interesting week because I've cheekily... naughtily a couple of times mentioned our podcast in my coverage during the commentary.
Sure.
Sat in the studio,
yes.
I've referred to it a couple. I've been waiting for the text from the director to say, could you stop advertising your podcast, please? This is the BBC. It hasn't come, but I was saying that during the summer, we were having we were commenting on where's Luca? Luca watch. Wish you were Luca. You know, as he trailed around the world, leaving a wake of devastation of hotel bills around him and fast cars and all the rest of it. He's back.
He's the only man I know that
he
can get knocked out in Berlin at 2 p.m. and by 4 p.m. he's in Dubai.
Yeah.
How does he do that? I know his car's fast, but
is there any suspicion that he might just have all these videos logged on his phone? He's actually just sat in Belgium playing with us all.
He's sat in Joe Perry's palace practicing. That's what he's doing. So that is the Welsh Open. You can watch it all. It's on Eurosport. It's on BBC Wales. It's on the BBC Red Button as well. If you're in the UK, if you are elsewhere, check the WST website, wst.tv. as to where you can watch it. Right, that is on until Sunday. We're going to have a very, very short break, and then we'll be back with Sean's rant.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the 147 podcast with Sean Murphy and Phil Seymour. If you like what you're listening to, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to interact with us across all forms of social media at 147pod. That's the words at 147pod.
I tell you, I'm liking this new opulent studio that we've got since we won the award, by the way. Just in that break, Sean is pouring us both a nice cup of coffee from our lovely... coffee pots, putting the milk in. It's all very civilised here in Llandudno, isn't it?
It is very civilised. It's nice. It's nice.
Is it too civilised for you to have a rant, though, Sean?
No, because I have two. But I have two specific to this week.
Oh.
Llandudno-based rants.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to let you choose. Would you like rant A, which I might have repeated... I should have checked the archives. I might have ranted about this before here.
Oh, okay.
So that's option A.
You've not.
Or option B.
You've not had another chocolate orange. Do you want A or B? I love you. You've not lost another chocolate
it's
orange.
A or B?
I'll go B.
B.
I'll go B.
Well,
Sean?
You've actually given me the idea for option B.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to go for option B.
Okay. Sean Murphy, the magician, you have 1 minute and 47 seconds from the second I say rant... to the moment you hear the klaxon. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, rant.
I think this rant might not make it the full time. I'm going to put that disclosure out there to start with. Because as soon as I say these words, anyone who, like us, lives on the road is going to know what I'm talking about. This rant is about hotel room catfishing.
Oh.
And when hotels advertise their rooms... in a certain manner. Say, come and look at our room. This is fabulous. They put on the best looking pictures you've ever seen with filters. Things have been added. Things have been taken away. There's a spa and it shows, you know, there's a model there having a massage. It doesn't exist. And when you get there, it's like a building site. That's you know, half of the rant. The other part of it, you know, is down the same line. You go to these restaurants when you're on tour. You go onto Google. You're looking at the pictures. They look nothing like it. And they put the pictures of the dishes up. They never served those dishes. So restaurant, hotel, catfishing is my rant this week. We travel around the world all the times. You do your best. You go onto TripAdvisor. You go onto the Google review page. We're all on Instagram. You're checking them all out. And you trust these places to show you exactly what they look like. I heard a story this week of a friend of mine who checked into his hotel and his room was absolutely horrific. He came down and insisted he was moved. They moved him to another room where the wallpaper was falling off the walls. They moved him to another room that stank of drainage. And he pulled up the picture of the hotel rooms to confront the receptionist who said, oh no, we do have that room, but we only have one of them. Stop it. Be straight with people. If you're a two-star hotel, just tell us you're a two-star hotel. We'll still never come, but at least you'd be able to sleep at night knowing you hadn't catfished the nation.
The only stars in that hotel are the ones that you can see through the broken ceiling. Like, seriously.
Is that next to the moon?
Yeah, it's... We shan't mention who your friend is who had that experience here in Llandudno, but that is a good argument. Do you know what? It was interesting. We went for some food last night. We went to a Chinese restaurant, and it bore out once again the rule that you do never, ever judge a Chinese restaurant by its cover, because the place looked... It didn't look great. It didn't look great. Food
no, but I think
food
there's an unwritten...
Food was really good, though, wasn't it?
I think there's an unwritten rule, isn't there, with restaurants like this, you know, with Chinese restaurants, Indian restaurants, Thai restaurants, you know, the worse it looks...
The better the food
is. The better the food is.
100%.
Not going for the decor. 100%. I think that, you know, if they've not spent it on the paint, they're spending it on the prawn crackers, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know,
so there you go. Hotel,
which were first class.
They were absolutely first class. Hotel and restaurant catfishing... Have you experienced it? Is it a thing for you? Certainly it's for me. I see it all the time.
Something. Everyone who's listening to this in their car, travelling up and down, you know, people travelling all over the place, self-employed people, whatever they're doing. If you're in your car now listening to this, you are nodding along because, yes, you've booked a room and thought, yeah, that looks nice. I could go for a spa treatment. Sorry, the spa's closed.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's under renovation. There's no spa here. We've all experienced it. Link this to other rants about plug sockets, hotels, seagulls. By the way, seagulls was option A.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, we have done seagulls before, definitely.
Done seagulls. Probably here.
Yeah, possibly. Quite possibly. I talked about when I got attacked by one in Minehead and it stole my bacon sandwich.
Is it illegal to shoot seagulls?
Yes.
Right, moving on.
There is a great viral video, though, of a guy that punched one. And I know before anyone said it wasn't me.
Oh,
and
Philip. I'm not Philip.
It's a funny video, though. Seagull comes down, gets right hooks it. It's brilliant. So have you had it? At 147 pod across all forms of social media, do you get catfished by hotels and restaurants? Right, we've had loads and loads of questions in. We asked the questions last week. We've had loads in. So let's fire through a few of these. First off, Lottie Schmidt from Denmark, beautiful Denmark, on Facebook. Sean, how is safety success calculated?
It's a great question. And I've actually asked this question.
Dark arts,
isn't it? No one really knows. It's interesting because related to this would be the long pot success. Mm. I recently said to someone working in the stats for BBC and IMG, how do you calculate that stat? And they said, oh, if either of the balls, the cue ball or the object ball, travels over 5 or 6 feet, then it's counted as a long pot.
Right.
And I said, well, that's not how we count. That's not what we count long pots. For us, it's about the distance the cue ball travels to the object ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that needs to be over sort of 8, 9, 10 feet for it to count as a long pot. So those stats, you know, the players wouldn't count that as the same. I actually don't know how a safety success stat is formulated. I'm assuming, because with the greatest of respect, whoever's pushing the buttons on these stat machines probably doesn't play snooker to the highest level.
Yeah.
And so perhaps won't know if a safety shot was intended or played for. It's probably to do with whether the opponent pots a ball on their next visit to the table, whether your shot's deemed successful or not. I'm sorry to tell you, Lotta, I actually don't know.
No, weird, isn't it? I know sometimes Ian Burns, the pro player, he often does the stats. He's often pulled in as a stat man. So,
well, as I said, often that person... <you know.
laughs> Wow. Okay, next question.
Next question comes from Richard Barzi on Facebook. With a number of tournaments confirmed for China next season, it seems madness that so many players should travel all the way there. Surely there should be qualifiers here with 32 going to China for the event. Richard, I assume when you say 32 qualifiers here, you mean in the UK.
Yeah, I cut this one down. There was Richard, thank you for your question, Richard. It was very, very, he came up with a whole hypothesis of how it could work and what he could do and this, that, the other. Yes, he did mean here. There's already people complain about the whole overseas thing. Why are the qualifiers always in the UK? Why aren't they held in Germany or in Indonesia or Singapore or wherever?
Here's one for you. Why do let's say Chinese players make up a quarter of the tour?
Yep.
Now they did. That was a close number. Not sure since though the 10 players were banned whether that's still the same. But you know, let's for argument's sake say it's 20 to 25% of the tour's makeup are from China. Is it right that they have to come to the UK to qualify for events in China?
Yeah, but I'll ask you the other question then. How many of those are based in China?
Well, no, but they're based in the UK because of that.
Yeah, true, but they're based in the UK for various reasons. But the majority of tournaments are still here in the UK. Yes, it is the World Snooker Tour, but the majority of tournaments are still here, so it makes sense for them to be based here. As we get more global, you know, we've got Saudi, and I know there's talk of other events elsewhere. There's more events now in China. I think next season are there as many as there's ever been in a season in China?
It's getting that way.
I think so.
It's getting that way.
You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of work going on to spread that even further and get more events in other countries as well. It will get more and more global. And as it does, I think things like this need to be looked at. And But at the moment, I don't know. Is it a massive problem? So many players going to China.
Well, the argument is, the less players you take to these Chinese events, obviously it cuts down on expenses for players lower down the rankings.
Yep.
Great idea.
Yep.
The more qualifying matches you have in the UK, the higher the risk that the top players, i.e. the commercial assets to the tournament out there in China, don't make it.
Yep.
That's a problem. That's a risk. And then if you start to combat that, if you start holding, let's say, the top 8 or top 16 over, you do end up then taking more than 32 anyway, because you've got to take the 32 that you've held over and the other qualifiers that are yet to happen. Before you know it, you've got the bones of 50 players in there anyway. And, of course, the players lower down the rankings, I think correctly, scream a little bit that the players get preferential treatment. They don't have to go to the qualifiers. It's not the same fight. It's not a fair fight. All of that stuff. And that's an argument I've made repeatedly over the years. I think I'm possibly one of the only top 16 players that believes that all players should start in round one. But you get further and further away from these arguments, don't you? So it's a very difficult one. The German Masters suffered with it last year because they took 32. A bunch of the top 16 didn't qualify. It was at least half, I think, didn't make it to Berlin last year. And the tournament, we were told, suffered because of it. So to sort that out this year, they took 64. They added two tables to the arena. It made the arena almost unplayable. Anytime you were shooting into towards table one, you couldn't see the pockets because of the lighting. If you were shooting away from that, all the pockets were covered in shadows. And it's a problem we had 6-7 years ago with the German Masters when they had 7 tables in the arena. It doesn't work from a playing point of view, but it works from getting more players there and having the top names there, which is a risk if you have more qualifiers. So it's
a difficult balance.
It's a difficult balance, isn't it?
It is difficult.
I cut the question down. You should have cut the answer down.
I really like what happens with the home nations. I love the home nations the way it's structured now, because they hold over the top players for day one. So anyone coming on day one of the English, the Welsh, the Scottish, Northern Ireland, they know they're going to see, is it the top 16 players?
I think it is, yeah.
Top 16 players in that first day.
And they all play on day one.
What a value ticket that is, because the tickets aren't particularly expensive for that first day, but you get to see all the big names, and you often get to see shocks as well, because they're not all going to win. You know, it's very, very rare that all the top 16 will win. So, you get a great day of action. And I know they are here in the UK, that they're not in China. And it's not as easy as that. Again, I think it's a lot of these things are about balance. And I think they've probably got the balance just about right at the moment. But we'll see as things do grow and progress, things will change, I'm sure. Right, Martin Yap on Twitter. Congratulations on the award. What award's that, Sean?
Thank you, Martin.
Oh, Sports Podcast Award. Okay, thank you, Martin. Wonderful. What are you both going to do with all your newfound fame and fortune? Yeah, fair comment. And has the price of a frame against Sean gone up?
Well, can we just tackle that? Because I read that before. I don't know what you mean. What,
is it exhibition, surely? Exhibition. If someone pays, I don't know how much it is to play against, it's probably £200 or something, to play a frame of snooker against you. Now you're an award-winning podcaster, that goes up to, what, 500, surely?
Oh. It shows people can pay to play against, can they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Don't know that?
No.
So you're 50 quid that you get paid.
Yeah.
People are paying like a lot of money to play you. Yeah.
I didn't know. That's news to me. If I didn't know when I do my shows that because I would turn up and do 10 or 12 frames of snooker, I never looked into how those 10 or 12 people are chosen.
It's not like a ballot or anything.
I didn't know. So those tickets, people are buying those.
Yeah, they're paying extra money. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. I've been doing shows 20 years. I didn't know that.
And just HMRC are listening, it's £50 a show you get paid, isn't it?
£50 a show, and they're all for charity.
All for charity. Okay, moving on.
Robert Beamish from Twitter. Oh, a simple question. What crisps are the best?
Right, now these are the kind of questions we like.
This does confirm what we advertise ourselves. We are the snooker podcast that's not a snooker podcast.
Absolutely. Go on then.
What crisps are the best? Well, this is very difficult, Robert, because, having grown up in the UK, my immediate answer would have been Walkers, obviously. But having spent the last, several years in Ireland, if you don't say Tato, you get shot. So, I don't see Tato as the best crisp. For me, the absolute daddy of the crisp is the pickled onion Monster Munch.
Oh, it's a good crisp. It's a good crisp. Tato crisps are amazing, by the way.
Yeah, they're not in the same league as Walkers.
They're brilliant.
They're not in the same league as Walkers.
And pickled onion Monster Munch are I mean, they're elite level.
They're elite level.
Elite level, Chris.
Now, there's room up there. You know, there's you can the top three is constantly under, you know, under consultation. You know, now, there's room.
I'm going to throw in a brand.
I'll tell you what, the other snooker pods aren't having this.
They're not doing this, are they?
No.
They're not,
Phil and Nick aren't discussing their favourite crisp. Or Dave's not talking about his favourite cheese.
Yeah, not seen Mark Watson talking salt and vinegar, do we?
No.
Right, Brannigan's. Heard of Brannigan's crisps?
Brannigan's crisps. Why do you always? Right. Why always have to do this?
Now back.
You know, even on your social media, when you put music on your little stories, it's always really obscure music.
No, it's not. It's good music, right?
Why does everything have to be off the bat with you?
Back in the '90s, Brannigan's sort of burst through as a.
Weren't Brannigan's a chain of bar?
I don't know. Were they?
Brannigan's sports bars, like. Weren't they?
You're mixing up with Weatherspoons, to be honest. Talking of, yeah. Anyway. No, Brannigan's crisp, right? And they did ham and pickle, beef and mustard, and they did a Cumberland sausage.
You're so northern.
They did a Cumberland sausage crisp, right?
Aye. Now, the beef, I love.
The beef and mustard, I think you can still get them now. They're brilliant. They're really properly strong, properly hot. The Cumberland sausage ones were absolutely gorgeous.
Do you put this on, or are you this northern?
I am this northern. I'm sorry.
So, hang on a minute.
Brannigan's Cumberland sausage, which you can no longer get from me.
Hang on. Robert has written in good faith, and asked the question, which crisp is the best?
His name is Robert Beamish. How northern do you want?
Bob Beamish.
Bob Beamish. That's like the most northern name ever.
Bob Beamish has written, he's gone, hey up lads, what crisps at best?
What crisps at best?
The answer is pickled onion Monster Munch.
It's Cumberland sausage Brannigan's. Wow. So there you go, Robert.
You're an absolute clown, Seymour.
James Snooker. Oh, now this is very dangerous.
If James's name this is very James Snooker Nation, I'm off. Name.
James Snooker Nation on Twitter. What is a fact about Sean that no one else would know? Right. Now, do we go dangerous and I give one? Or do we go safe and you give one?
Well, I've been racking my brains. I think over the year, there's so much stuff out there that's been written about me, and most of it's wrong. The amount of times I've gone on to try and correct my Wikipedia page is untold. And I don't know who edits it. I don't know who devised it. And I didn't know that. You know, like, so somebody somewhere has created my Wikipedia page, right?
Yes.
Whoever that was historically has ultimate control over it. So I go on and edit it. That person then has to give their say-so as to whether that's correct. It's about me. It's my page. I've been racking my brains for things that that people might be interested in. I've got no idea.
Well,
you go.
I'll give them one.
You give them one.
For tea last night, Sean had crispy beef washed down with a Sauvignon Blanc.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Now, there's only four people that know that. You, me, and the two people we were in the Chinese restaurant with. One of whom, by the way, was Darren Morgan. Moving on.
Mountain Man on Twitter. Would you be willing to play a game of darts against a county-level player and allow it to be shown on YouTube?
No, I wouldn't. I'm terrible at darts. I think it's pointed at you, this one, Sean.
I think so, yeah. Now, I don't... This isn't what Mountain Man has asked. I can't believe I've just referred to him as Mountain Man. He's a mountain of a man.
Mountain of a man.
Mountain of a man. Here he comes.
He's 5'2".
Mountain man. So this is all about my nine data.
It is.
It's all related to that. Which, by the way, spoiler alert, I did an interview with the Times about yesterday. The Times, darling.
The Times of London.
The Times. Because now we're an award-winning podcast. We're going highbrow.
Well, it's kicked off, hasn't it? Joe Cullen, the rock star Joe Cullen, PDC Tour professional. He's called you a liar on Twitter.
I know.
It's a lovely guy, Joe, as well.
Is he?
Yeah, really nice
guy.
He's
on my list.
Yeah, he's called you a liar on
Twitter.
Called
me a liar.
So go on then. Would you be willing? I mean, you don't play darts regularly, so you'd need to do some practice. You'd need to get into it. Would you be willing to play a game of darts against a county-level player and allow it to be shown on YouTube?
Yeah.
There you go. Mountain Man, there's your answer, yes.
But in return, we'll have to find something Mountain Man's not very good at. And we'll film that and put it on YouTube.
He could pay £500 on a frame of snooker against you. No, it's gone up.
Well, I'm not very good at that either. It has to be something I can win at.
So Mountain Man, the answer is yes. There
just,
you are.
But just to clear this up, because it's now starting to catch fire and do the... I've never claimed to be a good darts player. I've never claimed to be any good at it at all. I used to play a lot, used to play loads in the pub with my mates. There was a time where I knew Phil Taylor a bit. he gave me some darts, and we used to throw with the dart. We used to have a great time. You know, he'd play 3-4 times a week. This was during a time in my life where I was spending far too much time socialising. I wasn't playing snooker very much. I tumbled down the rankings, and it was largely to do with the amount of time I was spending, you know, socialising. But my snooker went down, and my darts went up. It wasn't paying the bills. I've never marketed myself as an actual darts player at all. So if you want to play darts and stream it, great. But, it, you know, it won't be any good at all.
There you go. There's your answer. Next up, Zaria Shroff on Instagram. Loving the new podcast logo, especially the sparkles on Sean's suit. Thank you, Zaria. Some work's gone into that, by the way. While you're watching, while you're listening to this podcast, have a look at the new logo. I quite like it. Hope the tour can come to India again at some point. Yeah, so does Matt Selt. With wins over Bingham, McGill and Brussel already this season, what do you think of Ishpreet Singh Chadha's prospects? Sean?
I think he's got that bit of something that, you know, you can't teach, which he sort of fancies. You look at him, he fancies it.
I was going to say that. He's not short on confidence, the lad, is he?
No, not at all. You know, the players he's beaten so far, and he's had some really other good performances as well throughout the season. You know, these players don't roll over. He's beaten them, but he's also what it's the bit I because you do get the odd little freak result every now and again. It's his body language for me.
Yeah,
he walks around the table like he fancies it.
Yeah,
like
every time
he doesn't. He's not like he's out there. You know, he's been given his tour card by charity. He's earned it, and he walks around and he gives the impression of no, I'm here to do business. I'm here to make my mark as a professional player. He looks like he's a contender. And, he's a bit rough around the edges, like, you know, needs to learn, you know, learn the game and learn some do's and don'ts and all the rest of it. But, like, he can play.
You know, isn't it great that it's a two-year card?
Yeah.
For that reason.
Yeah.
It's great that it's a two-year card because it does allow players that time to get used to it, to settle in, to develop.
Well, it's almost impossible to start from zero.
Yeah.
And amass enough points, money, whatever, to retain your tour card the next season if it was a one-year card.
Yeah.
It's mathematically, you know, almost impossible. It gives them a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It?
And Ishpreet looks very good around the table. A lot of this sport is played between the ears. We know this. He's certainly got the ingredients, hasn't he, Sean?
Anyways. Absolutely. Right, Andrew Ive on Instagram. Would you class Joe Davis as one of the all-time greats? 15-time world champion, etc., and yet never gets mentioned. Now, having been so northern, Phil, Joe Davis isn't still the world champion, just so you know.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Oh.
No.
He's not currently holding the embassy, no?
No, it's Fred Davis.
Okay. Is Joe Davis from the all-time greats? Answer, yes. Never gets mentioned. No, because it was a bloody long time ago. That's all it is. It's a long time ago. When you watch football... If you watch the Premier League coverage on Sky, they're not talking about Stanley Matthews. He was an amazing footballer a long time ago. I think that's all it is, personally.
Yeah, do you know, I probably agree with you.
Yeah,
probably agree with you. Absolute all-time legend. Of course, the tournament was, you know, it was very different back then. You know, he selected who his opponents were. You know, it was a completely different... You know, we talk about seeding structures these days and favouritism. Like... He invented favouritism.
Yeah.
He was the champion. He bought the trophy and he decided who he would play the following year. Like, you know, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, isn't that how, I mean, you work in boxing. Isn't that how boxing works?
Yeah, it's very similar, yeah. To an extent.
Who decides? I mean, we'll just stray off here, but it is related to the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Take Tyson Fury.
Yep.
Who decides who he fights next?
Right.
Does he decide?
Once you get up to... a title. When you win a title, you generally get a defense of your own choice. Okay. But then after that fight, you have a mandatory. So generally, when you have a title, the board whose title it is. So for example, if you win the IBF world title, after you win that belt, you'll be able, in your next fight, you can choose your opponent. But then the fight.
It could be anybody.
Yeah. Within, they've got to be ranked with the IBF.
Right.
So they've got to rate them as a decent boxer. But you could pick...
Can't just be Dave off the street.
You could pick number 8 or 9 in the world.
Right.
Okay. But then the next fight after that, you've got to face your mandatory challenger, which the IBF will tell you who that is. So...
That's like the next best.
Yeah, 2 or 3 in the world, generally, or maybe 4 in the world, depending what other fights they've got and what's going on. The IBF would order a certain fight. So... That's generally how it works. But when you're coming up and through, there's none of that. So before you have a title, no, your manager, your promoter, and you as a boxer chooses your opponents. And that's just the way boxing is. That's just how it works. Sadly, because of that, it means we've missed out on some amazing fights down the years. You know, and let's be honest, everyone would have loved to have seen Fury against AJ, what, a few years ago now?
Who would have won that fight?
It'll still happen. I still think they'll fight, yeah.
Is it 5 years too late?
Yeah. Yeah, both of them in their prime.
Who would have won in their prime?
Tyson. In their prime, Tyson wins. What's going to happen? I don't know.
Lots of people have just taken a deep intake.
No. Tyson Fury, yeah, twice on a Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. In their prime, Tyson Fury wins that fight.
Yeah, I'm not stirring it. I don't know much about boxing.
I don't think there's any argument there.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do make the argument.
Well, they can do. They're wrong. Tyson Fury.
The basis of all good arguments, yeah. There, Phil.
Yeah.
They're wrong. Have you been to my school of arguing?
In their prime, Tyson Fury would have beaten Anthony Joshua. But we'll never see it, because we may see it, but I think they're both past their best now, sadly, but it's one of those. So anyway, moving on. Cameron Pentland on Instagram. This is a good one. Have either of you ever played on a weird-shaped snooker table? It could mix things up a bit. Sean, have you ever?
No. The closest I've ever come to is playing a game called Bar Billiards,
yes.
Which, you know, as it sounds, is played in a bar on a small table pushed in a corner somewhere. It's obviously not snooker. It's not billiards. It's cues and balls into holes. You know, yeah. It's that kind of thing. And it was actually the only place I'd ever seen it was in my home county of Northamptonshire, where it's massive. However,
is this one with the toadstools?
Yeah. However, in November, we had the fire alarm situation at the York Barbican. We were all evacuated to the Edinburgh Arms across the road. And I walked in round the corner. There's two things of interest in the back room at the Edinburgh Arms. One's a piano.
Yep.
Which all good old school pubs have.
Yep.
And the other was a bar billiards table.
Yep.
I've never seen one outside of Northamptonshire.
There's a couple in York. There are a couple in pubs in York. And a lot of people like playing on them. I've got to say, I've played bar billiards. It's great. So there used to be one in the Stone Bow Snooker Centre.
With your ability to go in off from almost anywhere, you'd be very good at that.
Are you commenting?
I'm saying nothing.
There used to be one in the Stone Bow Snooker Centre in York. Now, weird-shaped tables. I've played pool on a circular table. And that was really weird, because trying to judge how it's going to come off these sort of curved cushions is impossible. I'd be open to that, though. I'd be open to some different things like that, maybe round tables or whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
I think you've lost it.
Yeah.
Adam Richardson over on Instagram says, who will be the next first-time Triple Crown winner?
Oh, goodness me. What are the lottery numbers next Saturday?
And I'm assuming this is Triple Crown event, isn't it? This isn't somebody who's going to win the set. This is going to be the first winner of a Triple Crown event. Is that what he means?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Who will be the next first-time Triple Crown winner? Yeah, I think, Adam, what you're asking is who's going to be the next first-time winner of a Triple Crown tournament? Yeah, geez, yeah, I mean, that could be anybody, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it could.
What is the next Triple Crown? The World Championship. I mean, I don't think there'll be a surprise winner this year. I think it'll be one of the, you know, likely candidates this year.
So McGill or CJ Hui,
yeah? Yeah, see, yeah, yeah. Like last year, it was one of the favourites.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
It wasn't.
Oh. I don't know. It could literally be anybody, couldn't it? Fast forward to the UK's. We've got several players who are waiting to win the UK's to complete their set of Triple Crowns and become the 12th member of the Triple Crown Club. Stuart Bingham springs to mind. He's obviously, you know, having a terrible season, really struggling for who knows what reason. You know, such a classy player, such a great scorer, but seemingly can't buy a win this year. Very much like myself, you know, it's, you know, who knows what causes it. Form comes and goes. But fast forward to the UK's next year, Stuart will be going to win the UK's to complete his set. I don't know. I really don't know. I suppose the top name on everyone's list would be Jack Lazowski. We've been saying for some time that, you know, this event, whatever event it could be his next. And, you know, I'm sure people will continue saying that until he wins one.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think that. I can't think of anyone else who'd be a first-time winner, really. But then Jack needs to win a ranking event, really, doesn't he? So it may be on the Triple Crown, who knows? Okay, let's have one last listener question.
One last question from Judelicious on Instagram. If you could trade places with each other, oh my goodness, for one day, what would be the first thing you would each do? Judy, This is a dangerous, dangerous question.
I'm skipping to the bank. I'm literally skipping to the bank, waving my arms in circles in the air as I do. I am skipping down to the bank, Sean. Come on.
Goodness.
Sorry, it's crass, I know, but there's only...
We are who we are, Phil. If we could trade places for one day, oh dear,
I dread to think what you'd do.
I don't know. I mean, there'd be a lot of items of clothing that'd get binned.
Oh wow,
I'd be sifting through your wardrobe.
Cheers, yeah. That's lovely.
You know, I've actually thought about this. You see, that's the difference. No, what would we do? I'd have to root through your cupboards and remove all of those Brannigan's crisps. They'd have to get binned.
I think
as well.
I'd shave my head. If I was you for a day, I'd get rid of the quiff. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, the quiff would have to go. Yeah.
The old Cameron Diaz would be going.
Do you think? Yeah. Do you think the quiff's too long now? Do you think Do you think it needs taking out?
No, it needs to get bigger. Okay. Grow it even longer. Go full Diaz.
Judy, I'm sorry. I tried to get a serious answer out of him, but again, he's thwarted me.
Sorry, Judy.
We'll start calling you Teflon.
We do have some more questions, but we're going to hold them over to the next podcast. So Steve Hassack, Matt 3789, interesting surname, Matt. And Sean Smith, we will, I promise, ask your questions on the next podcast. But we are just over the hour, which is where we like to stop. So let's have a pointless question. It's topical on account of the fact that, Sean, I know we've not really mentioned it very often, but we have won an
mentioned
award
what?
Recently.
Oh.
We did win an award. If you could win any...
How long are we going to keep this up for, by the way? Just like, seriously?
Probably until next year's awards.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So 12 months.
Okay.
And then if we were to win it again, then we'd just carry on.
Do you know, there's nothing worse than a bad winner.
Yeah, this is true, and we're terrible.
Terrible winners.
So off the back of our award win, if you could win any award, pointless question, if you could win any award, what would it be?
Goodness me. I mean, that is a big list, isn't it?
It is,
Any award?
Any award.
Any award? Wow. I mean, I would have liked my 50-meter puffin badge award for swimming. Yeah, as a kid. No, I'm joking.
Dressed in your pajamas, goodness, saving that brick off the bottom.
Yeah. Any award? Have you got any ideas?
For me, it's not one you could win.
Oh,
but something
It's not an answer in the question.
But something you get
Why
awarded.
Why can't you just answer the questions?
Because I can't. But something you get awarded.
You set the questions.
I'd love an honour.
Would you?
Yeah.
Which one?
Oh, well, everyone wants to be knighted. Any?
Can we just divert down this road for a minute?
We talked about this before, haven't we? Briefly.
How does that work? How does the honour system work in the UK? How does it actually work?
It's very, very strange.
Who decides and how does it... Someone gets awarded an MBE, right? Which is fantastic. Yeah. Whoever they have earned, done something for. How does that process...
There's lots of different ways. Your own MP, if you've done something, if you've done something locally in your area, your own MP could nominate you to the Honours Committee.
That's you out then.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, I can't stand the bloke. But he won't be there in a couple of years, so it's all good. For you, then the Minister for Culture, Media and Sport, they could nominate you.
Right. It's something I know nothing about. You know, you see it announced every year. Around New Year's, don't you?
I think the King...
I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, the King chooses so many, like the birthday honours list or the New Year's honours list.
Right.
And the rest are chosen by Parliament, by the Honours Committee. Suggestions made to them by different MPs, I believe.
Right. Goodness, that's clear as mud, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Clear as mud.
To be awarded one of those would be lovely, but come on then, Sean.
Yeah, I mean... I suppose anyone would love that, wouldn't they? You know, I suppose so, yeah. Any award, goodness me. I'm actually really struggling with this.
Difficult.
I'm really, really struggling. I think we don't have anything like this. I don't think we used to have our annual awards in snooker. They've died a death and come back. They've been coming back for years and years and years. It'd be nice to see them return.
Yeah.
I think something like a player's player. Something like that, voted by your peers.
Yeah,
something like that would mean a lot because you know that other pros have got together and gone. Actually, that was a good run, or that was a great performance, or you know whatever.
That's a great thing about these questions, isn't it? We are allowed to choose things that we'd never get.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Christmas list, isn't it?
Haven't we?
You just pick anything you want. It's like that thing, isn't it? Where is it? What was Santa? Because Santa chats to Rory McIlroy and says, "What would you like for Christmas?" He says, "A dragon." He says, "No, really." He says, "Oh, well, an Augusta green jacket." And he says, "What colour dragon would you like?"
Brilliant. And on that note, we shall sign off. Get in touch with us on social media at 147pod, wherever you're looking. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and different places. Enjoy the Welsh Open for the rest of this week. I certainly will be. I'll be on the microphone. If you go into Goffs, I'll see you there. And Sean, last day here today for you?
Last day for me. Before we go, did I mention that we are now an award-winning podcast?
We are an award-winning podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. It's a very goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from him.
Have a great couple of weeks. See you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.